إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are at the story of Musa alayhi salam when he was given Nubuwat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the whole incident yesterday, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him about his staff and so on. And the purpose of that is to, the purpose is the tarbiyah of the Nabi, of which began with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introducing himself, Tawheed, Salah and Tawakkul. And once that is established, once Musa alayhi salam has understood that La nafi wa la dharra illallah, that there is no benefit and no harm that can come from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives Musa alayhi salam the job. And he said, اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَقَى. Go towards Firaun, who has rebelled. Now, then see Musa alayhi salam's response to that. Now, Firaun is no stranger to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam was brought up in his house, was brought up in the palace of the Pharaoh. So he knows who he is being sent to. He knows the power of the man. He knows his ruthlessness. He knows his cruelty. He knows what he can do and can't do. But his immediate response to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي سَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَهَلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَوْ قَوْلِي. His reaction is, O Allah, open my chest, give me understanding, give me the ability to do this work. Shara Sadr is a very vast, concept. So open my chest is obviously not, it is not meant literally, but it means to give an understanding, a deep understanding of what is to be done, the ability to do it, the confidence, the courage, all of this. And Musa alayhi salam said, Yassir li amri, make this job of mine, this hukum that you have given me, make it easy for me. Bahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli, and remove the knot from my tongue and make this job easy for me and let them understand what I say. Now this knot from my tongue refers to also a speech impairment which he evidently had, and the Mufassirin have said that that speech impairment was as a result of there was a test when the astrologers were trying to identify the child, they put a live coal and they gave a diamond and they said, let's see what he does. And Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him to put that coal into his mouth, as a result of which he had a speech impairment. So Musa alayhi salam saying, remove this speech impairment. And he says, so that people understand what I say. And then of course he asks for Harun alayhi salam as his wazir to help him in his work. And he said, he speaks better than me, and so on. But the key thing here is, in this whole thing, is one is that once we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fa'il, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand his azmat and his greatness and his majesty is in the heart, then immediately Musa alayhi salam is ready to do the work. He is not asking for anything else. He does not say, I am weak and so on and so on. Because if Allah has chosen me, if Allah wants me to do the work, then Allah will make it possible for me to do the work. And this is the basic principle as far as Da'wat al-Islam is concerned. Today we are in a situation where we have taken the our attitudes from the corporate world and applied them in the work of Da'wah, and we get over engrossed in people's technical abilities, in their learning and training, and their education, and so on and so on. None of which is wrong. I mean, I'm not saying you have to hire some jahil. But at the same time, one must understand that there is a very critical difference between the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the work of any human being. If you look at the work of people, I will hire somebody to do work that I myself cannot do, that I don't know how to do, or I do not have the time to do. Right? So, I might hire an accountant because that's not my core area, or I might hire somebody else. So basically, a person, when you are hiring for business, you are filling positions that are actually your own weak points, positions that you cannot do, things you can't do for yourself. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not the, there's no weak point of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need, Allah does not need anything. And Allah does not need anybody's skills and talents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give skills and talents that He wants to whoever He wants. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the key thing is acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the work. So to get accepted is the issue. Once you are accepted, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you need in order to succeed. And this is the lesson from the story of Musa alayhi salam, that once Musa alayhi salam has been chosen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen anybody He wanted. He didn't need to choose somebody with a speech impairment and then He has to make dua to take away the speech impairment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen anyone He wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose who He wanted because of what He saw, because of what He knew to be in that person. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah does not look at your faces, Allah looks at your heart. To see if there is ikhlas in the heart, to see if there is sincerity of intention. That is the main thing. Once you have sincerity of intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the strength that you need in order to succeed. And so also in the case of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the strength to succeed. Even though Musa alayhi salam asked for his brother as a wazir, if we read the story of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran, except for one place where Musa alayhi salam gave the instruction when he went to the mountain to Tur, he gave the job to Harun alayhi salam to look after the people, and that's when all the corruption happened and the Samiri came and he did all this. We'll come to that in due course, inshallah. But other than that, there is no narration. Allah has not said that Harun alayhi salam helped Musa alayhi salam to do this, or he helped him to explain, or none of that. And in any case, when Musa alayhi salam has asked for his speech impairment to be removed specifically, then it would have been removed. Then he really didn't even need the help of Harun alayhi salam. And that's why Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said that a person who did the greatest favor for his brother was Musa alayhi salam, when he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him Harun alayhi salam as his deputy. Because that's why, because of the dua, Harun alayhi salam got nubuwwat. Imagine, this is the greatest of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one could get. Harun alayhi salam became a Nabi because of the dua of his brother, not for any other reason. Musa alayhi salam made specifically dua for Harun by name, and Harun alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his brother as his assistant, as a Nabi. So the issue also of making dua for one another, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you make a dua for your brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to make the same dua for you, and the dua of the angel is accepted more than your dua. This is something we should do, to make dua for each other by name. Many times people, we have made this dua or asking each other to make dua also into a ritual. This is our tendency, I think. We convert everything into a meaningless ritual. So when you meet somebody, you say, please remember me in your dua. And the other one says, please you remember me also. I don't think anybody actually remembers. And the other musibat is that if you tell them, please remember, please make dua for me, they say, are hamari dua sa kya fayda? My dua is no use. No, you should make dua. Are azaab hai. And it's a you are a very good person. So being good is a musibat. Being good is a problem because you are supposed to be good. Allah only knows who is good and who is not good. Nobody makes dua for you. Is it ajeeb? So we really must understand this. This is the issue of making dua for each other is a great ni'mah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he said, make dua for me. Imagine, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not need anybody's dua. But he asked, his closest companion, he said, make dua for me. So the point is that making dua for each other is a great blessing that Allah has given us, and we should not deny each other this blessing. We must make dua for each other. So from this story at this point, we understand the importance of tawakkul, we understand the importance of ikhlas, we understand the importance of accepting the work of da'wah and of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and of making dua for each other in this work. And obviously I keep saying the work of da'wah, but all of this applies to everything in life. I mean, it's not only the work of da'wah, it's not only as if this is meant for people who are doing the work of da'wah, because important to understand is that as far as the work of da'wah to Islam is concerned, every aspect of the life of a Muslim is da'wah to Islam. It's not restricted to distributing pamphlets or giving bayans or going from house to house or whatever the method may be. These are specific things which can be done and should be done. But da'wah to Islam is our whole life. And if that is not happening, then there is no barakah in that. Because if there is, this is one of the problems. Today we have what I call selective obedience. And selective obedience is disobedience, right? So for example, you might be doing good work in one area. So you're doing social work, you're doing work of da'wah, you're supporting the work of da'wah through your own effort or through money or whatever, right? You may be building masajid and so forth. But in another aspect of your life, you do things which are clearly forbidden. One of the classic ones is our marriages. So in your marriage now, you are either doing ostentatious things or now one of the latest of the innovations of Hyderabadi Muslims is song parties. Ghazliyat. Bismillah ke उसमें तकरीबों में तो कहते मेरे कल कोई सुना रहे थे बोले बिस्मिल्लाह में गज़ल होना तो लाजिम है कहते हाँ तो अगर नहीं रहे तो बोलता अरे गज़ल नहीं है ऐसा कैसा तो मैं बोला मौलवी साहब को बोलो इकरा बिस्मि रब्बी कर लीजिए खलक के साथ में सारे गामा पाधा निसा ही पढ़ा दो एक साथ क्योंकि अगर वाजिब है गज़ल पढ़ना तो वाई नॉट डू दैट ऑल्सो नो रियली एब्सोल्युटली शेमलेस आई मीन देयर इज नो लिमिट टू दिस नॉनसेंस दैट जस्ट एंड ऑल ऑफ दिस इज ओनली बिकॉज अल्लाह गेव यू मनी आई टेल दिस पीपल Nobody, I mean, if you were scrounging for your breakfast, you would not have time to do all this. But now because Allah has given you some money, this is what you do with the money. You spend it in all of this. So if there is a wedding, you must have some haram with it. Without that, masala nahi rehta, maza nahi aata. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Then you expect barakat in your life and you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you and you expect your dua to be accepted and you want the couple who is getting married to their life to be filled with khair. You have somebody there making dua for them and then you know and he knows, everybody knows that after that you're going to go and indulge in something which Allah has prohibited. Why? What is the need for this? I mean, really, seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. What is the need for this? That is the whole point of having these fractured lives, right? Where we have some obedience, some disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Because when you are selectively obeying, what are you saying? You're saying that I will not obey this. You're selecting something. Out of five things which should be obeyed, all five, I will obey three and I will leave two. Which means what? Which means you are choosing to disobey. So selective obedience is disobedience. And this is something which is very important for us to understand and stay far away from. And that is the reason for the fact that we do not have barakah in our lives. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand this deen and to practice it completely and totally without, bringing our own innovations into it so that we get the barakah from this deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and for his grace and for his forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.